Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give the glory and the honor to the Lord. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give the glory and the honor to the Lord. I am the light of the world. Everyone who follows me will have the light of life. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Give the glory and the honor to the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Give the glory and the honor to the Lord. Make your word Jesus. May our hearts burn with love as we hear your voice. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give the glory and the honor to the Lord. Alleluia. 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 Give the glory and the honor to the Lord.
Hallelujah, indeed. Thank you, Miles. That was wonderful. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Hear the word of the Lord. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So I want to start this morning with a few lines from the play Oliver. Food, glorious food. We're anxious to try it. Three banquets a day, our favorite diet. So let's spend some time this morning talking about food, talking about being hungry. Now, I have to admit that after reading our two scripture verses, I'm a little bit hungry myself. I know for me, when I am hungry, I often get rather grumpy and cranky. I can get irritated and impatient when my stomach starts to grumble. Now, I think most of us are probably at our worst when we are hungry. We don't think straight, and we are certainly not at our best. And that is certainly the case in our scripture reading this morning from Exodus. The followers of Moses are hungry. They are angry with God because he has not provided for them. Even though God took them out of Egypt and slavery and given them their freedom, they are mad and upset with God. The Israelites tell Moses and Aaron, "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve us all to death." Now, Moses had only been leading his band of followers several months at this point, and even though it had not been all that long, they were all ready to be back home in the promised land, in Israel. They had been walking and walking and walking. For what? It certainly wasn't to be hungry. When they escaped the Egyptians and God parted the Red Sea so that they could be free people once more, they were ecstatic. But now they felt God had abandoned them. They were hungry. Their stomachs were rumbling. They were mad at God for not providing for them. But notice when God does provide food for them, it was not what they were accustomed to. This was some weird sort of new flaky flour that appeared on plants and only in the morning. They had never seen anything like this before. Did God really expect them to eat this to fill their hungry bellies with this weird stuff? Yeah, that is exactly what God expected of them. God was no doubt thinking, "You asked me to provide, so I did." And that is exactly what God expected of them. If they're going to live new lives in Israel, they had better start to think about trying some new things in their lives, because the promised land would not be at all like Egypt. They would not only have to grow and prepare their own food, but they would have to build the shelters that they would live in. They would have to make entirely new lives for themselves. The Egyptians, who controlled every facet of their lives, were no longer around to tell them what to do and to provide for them. They were now free to do whatever they wanted to do. As the old Southwest Airlines commercial used to say, "You're now free to roam about the country." But with this new freedom came new responsibilities. They didn't have to follow God's commandments if they didn't want to. And at times, that is exactly what they did. They did their own thing. They felt that they had more than enough to eat, but it was all desserts and no protein. They followed the lesser God in their lives, the God with a small g, the God that made them feel good for the moment, but not for the long run. And then our story and lesson, their story from the Gospel of John is not a lot different. Jesus' followers in our reading are not happy either. Jesus had just spent the previous day with this group of people. They were hungry when they met him, and he provided them a full meal. But they were hungry again, and they don't know where Jesus went. He has escaped. They hunt down Jesus and find him on the opposite side of the lake. Now that he has fed them once, they expect him to continue to do so. They are already hungry again. Jesus said to his followers, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all that you wanted, not because you understood my miracles." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life." So Jesus is suggesting to all of us, not just those early followers, that we take as big a piece of bread as we want to, as big a piece of bread as we think we need. We need to make sure that the bread we serve ourselves is satisfying, is filling, is not spoiling. Take as much as you need, but not too much. God warns us to not fill up on some empty calorie donut, but a hearty slice of 9-grain whole wheat bread. What Jesus is really saying is, bring meaning and purpose to your life by following me. Don't get distracted by the norms and expectations of the society in which we live, donuts, but put your trust and faith in me, that 9-grain whole wheat bread. Jesus invites us to eat the bread of life. He's encouraging us to break off a big chunk of bread, or better yet, to eat the whole loaf. not just a small part, but that whole thing. Not just take a little piece, but make that bread our way of living. Jesus has modeled for us. He has set the example of how to live full, rich, meaningful, and complete lives. We just simply need to follow his lead. But far too often, I am far too timid in the amount of bread that I'm willing to eat. Is that the case with you as well? Yes, I'll try it out, but it's hard to commit fully to what Jesus is offering. It can be so foreign to what I am accustomed to hearing and seeing in my everyday life. Jesus is calling, but sometimes I have so much trouble hearing his call. I think that sometimes that occurs because I get so distracted by what our society offers as an alternative. The glitz and glamour of what we see in the world can be so tempting. The consumerism that we see so prevalently displayed in all of our walks of lives can be so alluring. And yet it seems to me that nearly every time I put my trust and faith in what society sees as solutions to my problems, only leaves me hungry for more. Following the values of society leaves me hungry. I still want to eat, but I eat all of the wrong things. I consume all of those things that tend to leave me feeling empty and unsatisfied. It's like all I'm feasting at is the dessert table. Putting aside what our society values isn't easy. Following the lead of Jesus takes courage. It often can put us in a vulnerable place. But that is what being hungry is really all about. Seeking out more, being the best we can be, doing the most we can with the lives, with the gifts that God has given each of us. Being vulnerable to Jesus' lead. Now, the word vulnerable comes from the Latin word vulnus, which means wound. If you think about it, when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning, the scars in his hands and the wound in his side were still there, visible to everybody. They didn't go away when he was resurrected. Jesus didn't come back to life looking perfect. He had been wounded, and he was proud to show off his wounds, his imperfections. In fact, remember, the disciple Thomas would not even believe that Jesus had risen from the dead unless he could see and feel the wounds in Jesus' hand. And Jesus was proud to show Thomas those scars. Dr. Mark Laberton, the president of Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, said, "The fact that Jesus' wounds aren't simply wiped away allows us to make meaning of our losses and make meaning of our lives." In Japan, there is a tradition called kintsugi, and kintsugi is the art of repairing broken pottery. The broken pottery pieces are reattached with lacquer, and then the lacquer is dusted with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. It is very cool-looking pottery. The kintsugi master takes the broken pieces and makes it even more visually sophisticated. Kintsugi is built on the idea that by embracing flaws and imperfections, you can create a more beautiful and more valuable piece of art. With the help of Jesus, we too can take those broken pieces of our lives and make something even more beautiful. Jesus didn't come to fix us. Jesus didn't even come to restore us to something that we once were. No, Jesus came to make us something new, something far better than we ever were, faults and all. When we follow Jesus, when we put our trust and faith in him, and not in what society is pulling and pushing us to do with our lives, we have the option each morning to do something great, something meaningful, something important. When we wake up hungry in the morning, we have the choice. Do I follow Jesus or a lesser God? If there is a crack in your life, that is okay. I know I have lots of cracks. But when you think about it, the only way the light can get in is through the cracks in our lives. We all have cracks in our lives, scars, wounds, injuries. Some of them have lasted a lifetime. So often we have tried to hide them. We don't want to let our family or friends see those scars. We try and blot them from our memories and out of our lives. And yet, Jesus' scars show us that God can even use our cracks, our injuries, our imperfections to do good work with our lives. The fact that Jesus took the traces of his wounds with him to heaven and beautified them and celebrated them should be seen as hopeful to all of us. Waking up hungry every morning reminds us that we need to put our trust and faith in Jesus, to let the light shine through our cracks. Just think what a different life we would have if we feasted on serving God in the same way that we feast on Thanksgiving Day. So let me end this sermon with the way I started it, with just a slight alteration in those wonderful words from Oliver. God's food, glorious food. We're anxious to try it. 3 banquets a day, God's food is our favorite diet. The bread of life is awaiting each of us every day. Take a big piece of that 9-grain whole wheat bread and eat it up. Amen. So for our benediction, as you leave this sanctuary and go out and engage the world in which we live, be proud of those cracks in your lives. Let the light of Jesus in. Celebrate your imperfections. Avoid the distractions of life and follow the lead of Jesus. The bread of life is awaiting each of us every day. Take a big piece of that whole grain, of that whole wheat 9-grain bread, and eat it up. And as you go knowing that the all-time master builder, sustainer, and redeemer of life is with each and every one of you. Amen.